Hi there, friends. Welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in a moment, I want to share just two really simple keys to living a life full and overflowing with Holy Spirit. Boom. Hey, if you are new to my YouTube channel, my podcast, my ministry, check out the links below. My name's Graham. I'm a Brit. I was born in the UK. I lived in France for 20 years. I've been here in America for 10 years. I'm on a mission to teach Americans how to speak real English. It's a joke. Or was I? And I lead a group of churches here in New England, travel and ministry, and love Jesus. So it's great to have you here. Couple of quick things as well. I'm going to be speaking in New Hampshire, in Goffstown, New Hampshire, this coming weekend, Saturday evening, 8 p.m., Sunday at 10:30 a.m. with Goffstown Christian Fellowship. And you're welcome if you're in that southern New Hampshire, around the Boston, north of Boston area. Great to see you there. Good. Hey, let me mention as well, I have an online course as part of my ministry school called the Revelation Course, where there are 16 lessons and teaching notes all about how to walk in revelation from God. I'm going to actually talk about that in a moment. And it's normally $50, but I have it on offer just this week for $10. So if you're interested in that, again, there should be a link there below. Good. Hey, let me share something with you real quick as well. I've been teaching in my churches here in New England for the last few weeks about the subject of what does it really mean to be filled with Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. What does that mean? How can we stay full? How can we get more full? I'm not sure there's really you can't get more than full, but how do we live in overflow? I've been talking about what is the difference between how do we move from simply kind of a doctrinal theological position of my doctrine tells me I'm full of the Holy Spirit, which is good and valid, into a place where we actually experience that fullness, that overflowing with the Spirit of the living God. And what does it mean to live a Spirit-filled life? What does it mean to be part of a Spirit-filled church? What does it mean as a leader to truly embrace that? So just asking some of these questions. I don't have all the answers, but as I showed yesterday, sometimes just coming to the Lord and asking great questions lead us into encounters with God. So I want to read a quick passage today that I was speaking on in our church in Connecticut last Sunday, New England Fellowship. If you want the full message, check out our podcast feed. It will be on there, or the video is on the NEF Facebook page. But in John 3, verse 27, John the Baptist is speaking now. You know, we always know John 3 about Jesus speaking, John 3, 16. But at the end of John 3, John the Baptist speaks. And in verse 27, he says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. When you pause, think on those words for a sec. That really is the definition of revelation. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. You know, real quick, sometimes my evangelical friends tie themselves into kind of theological pretzels and exegetical origami shapes with this idea of revelation, as if, well, there's a Bible, and to get revelation from God means to add another chapter, another book to the Bible. And of course, it doesn't mean that, but literally, you can't understand the Bible without Holy Spirit. It's not enough to understand the Bible without the Spirit of the living God. Years ago, my wife and I knew a guy who was a university lecturer in Scotland who'd been teaching for many years on the book of Deuteronomy. That was his speciality. And yet he wasn't born again. So every year he'd be teaching, and he knew all, you know, incredible lectures on the book of Deuteronomy, except he didn't know the author. And one summer he went camping in the south of England and sort of by accident wandered into the kids' tent in a revival meeting and got born again, got filled with the Holy Spirit, got his life transformed. But he speaks about going back to, I think it was Glasgow, whatever, let's say, in the fall of that year and teaching the same notes, teaching the same subjects, the same material that he taught for many years. But as he taught, suddenly the power of God flowed into the lecture hall and kids are crying and repenting and getting set free. What's the difference? Same material, but the Spirit of God. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So it takes the Spirit of God to come on the written word, that the written word might become the preceding word, that man might not live by every by bread alone, but by every proceeding word that comes from the mouth of God. Selah. Boom. And again, just for the sake of time, I want to carry on reading to the end of, near the end. Oh, this is so good. But in verse 34 of John 3, John the Baptist says, "He who God has sent speaks the words of God, and to him God does not give the Spirit by measure." So one verse, three concepts in it I want to unpack really quickly. John the Baptist said, "He who God sent," he's speaking of Jesus. But I want you to see something today as well. God wants you and I to be the sent ones of the Lord. We should be sent by the Lord as well. God's Spirit is in us. He's in us for us. He's in me for me, but he's on me for you. He's on me for ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is up on me, Jesus said, upon me. Why? He's anointed me to do what? To preach the good news, to set the captives free, to open the prison doors, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the year of God's favor. So he who God sent, number two, speaks the words of God, and to him God gives the Spirit without measure. And here's my little thought, my suggestion to you today. I believe the measure in which we walk in Holy Spirit in our lives, not as some doctrine, but in actual experience. Today, I'm recording this on a Thursday. The measure to which I walk in God's Spirit today is determined in large part by the measure to which I'm walking in the sending of God. I'm in the mission of God for this Thursday. I'm in the purposes of God. I'm in the plan of God. I'm in the destiny of God. I'm in the sending of God. But secondly, the Spirit and the Word always work in unity, in unison. I preached on that here in Sturbridge last Sunday morning. If you want to hear that message, it'll be on my YouTube channel as well. But on, you know, literally Genesis 1:1, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, and then God said, "Let there be light." I like it better in French. It says, "Que la lumière soit," light be. And the Spirit of God was there, but nothing happened till the Word of God came. And everything God does, if you want to see an increased measure of the Spirit of God in your life, increase the measure to which you will speak the words of God in your life. So the measure to which we're in the sending of God, the measure to which we are speaking the words of God, will determine in great measure the measure, the amount, the quantum, if you will, of God's Spirit in action in our life. Boom, selah. Let me finish with this. But we did a great Zoom Bible study last night. I had friends from many different states and all over America. And somebody asked a question that for a moment stumbled me, and then I was thinking about it. They said, "Can Satan read our thoughts?" And I don't think there's any ground for saying Satan can read our thoughts. I think Satan can suggest thoughts or bring things into activation that can themselves suggest thoughts to us. But then it suddenly occurred to me, I don't think Satan knows what we're thinking until we say it. And our problem isn't so much what we think. Our problem is what we think tends to determine what we say. What we think gets into our heart. And then Matthew 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think it's why, you know, the Bible encourages us when we're going through attacks. Don't open our mouth. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. When Jesus went before, at the end of his passion, you know, in John, there's the kind of Olivet discourse, John 14 through end of 16. John 17, Jesus prays, you know, this great prayer, praying for you and I, praying for unity in the church. And at the end of John 16, Jesus says, right, again, three things in one verse. He says, "The prince of this world comes," number one. "He has nothing in me," number two. But number three, he says, "From now on, because of though, I'm not going to speak much. I'm going to zip the lip." And the Bible says he went before his accusers like a sheep to the shearer. You know, he opened not his mouth. So, yeah, there's something connecting there with hearing and speaking God's word. So let's be people who speak God's word a lot. You know, I'm here in my home church, a church I lead here. I will walk around the floor. I'll probably be doing it here today. Walk around here when nobody's here. I'm not waiting to see what will happen in my church. I'm getting getting inside information from God and walking around saying, God said this, God said this, God said this, God said this. I'm not looking for a prophet or some dream interpreter or somebody to tell me, oh, here's God's plan. Rather, no, this is God's plan. But I'm not passively sitting there waiting for it to happen, singing the Doris Day song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Rather, I want to say, Lord, you let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Rather than saying the future's not ours to see, I believe we can shape the future by praying, by declaring, by speaking God's word. Boom. Hope that's a help to you guys. Have a wonderful Thursday. Again, check out the links below in that Revelation course. And if you're in that New Hampshire, north of Boston area, love to see you guys at the weekend. Bye for now.